Donna said she thought I'd fallen asleep. Oh, that'll be the day. Sorry, that's not a Christian song. I better not sing that one. Anyway, good morning. It's nice to see all of you. Have you had a lovely weekend? How many of you were out getting a tan yesterday? Yeah, it was kind of nice. I actually debated wearing my shorts to the retirement party. It was just incredible. But how many of you also lost power? Okay, did anybody? No, none of you lost power because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a skill testing question. Anyway, good morning. Okay, a couple of announcements just to get things going as we head into the Christmas season. So Monday, our prayer group will be at 2 o'clock, and Dan and Joyce will have it here for two more weeks. Then there'll be a break over Christmas, and they'll be resuming on January the 10th. So come for tomorrow afternoon for two. Ladies, you're off until the new year. And Thursday, we have our final Bible study of the year at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Saturday for prayer. Jim and Grace, I just wanted to say the retirement party yesterday was just absolutely fantastic. I don't think Jane and Beck and I have ever felt so loved in all our lives. And to all of you ladies and gentlemen, I have a list here that I'd like to thank. Sheila, to you and Roy, for all you did, and for Donna and Bruce, and for Victoria, thank you, Victoria, and Monica, Marg, Heather, Deborah, and Christina and Tonga. What a team. I got something funny to tell you before we get started. Last night, I was phoning talk to Donna and Bruce, and I talked to Bruce, and then I could hear Donna in the background go, "I want to talk to him," and that's when the power went off. So I was finally able to reconnect on the landline, and when I got Donna on the line, she says, "I'll talk to you in 2 days." So Anyway. Don, why don't you introduce this young fella who's standing up beside you here?
Yeah, this is Jerry Floyd from Stanger.
Jerry, great to have you. Nice to have you here today. Anna, do you want to introduce that lovely young lady beside you to everybody?
Sure.
Jeanette, nice to have you here as well. Thank you for coming. Now, is there anybody else? Elaine, did we meet your grandchildren the last time?
Yes.
Okay. What are their names again? Because I've forgotten.
Banner and Ruby.
Nice to have you guys. And Heather, welcome to you again. Nice to have you with us. Allison, nice to have you back. Is that the bald guy? Is that you, Kevin? Can't tell. It's got so little hair. Okay, thanks for showing me your beard. Yeah. And Andrea, it's nice to have you with us as well. So I just trust it'll be a great day for everybody. We've got a great program for our kids, and they'll be involved in that in just a minute. Now, Jane, you wanted to say something about the phone list. Do you want to give us a quick update on that, please? What a great wife. Jeepers. Next Sunday, of course, we're inviting you to bring your Christmas cards. Put them in the mail slots. If you don't see a slot for a certain person, just put them down on the table below, and that way it'll save stamps for our church family, okay? And like I said to you last week, please do not give me letters to mail to friends near and far. Those people you put in the mail yourself, okay? So we'll look forward to handing all those out. And speaking of Christmas Eve, so we're going to have a service at 7 o'clock. If you would like to do a reading or play something or participate in that, please let myself know, okay? All right, we've got some birthdays. Don, we neglected to wish you a happy birthday for last week. So happy 79th birthday, brother. Yeah, the Lord bless you. And Vi, most of you remember Vi. She's celebrating on the 13th. And Cliff, I understand you're turning 39.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what it is for the 16th? Victoria, where are you? Where's Victoria? Is she here? Wanted to wish her a very happy birthday as well. Is there anybody else who has a December birthday would like to be noted? Do you not feel ripped off if you're a December baby, like you get Christmas and birthday together? Is that... Cliff, when you were growing up, did your parents give you a birthday gift and a Christmas gift, or did they just give you coal?
They didn't give me any gifts.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the fact that you're on your throne. And as we have this time together, You're going to be leading this service with power and joy, and all of us are going to sense your presence, I'm sure. And so, Lord, bless each and every member of this family today, from the littlest to the oldest. And for all that you want to accomplish, may our hearts be open, our minds be clear, and always may we leave this place with more faith than when we walked through the door. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Team, would you come, please? And I want to welcome Leanne back. Leanne has been off the circuit there because her voice, and now her voice is back, and we're going to just enjoy having worship time with her. So thank you, team.
Thank you, everyone. If you will all stand and join us, please.
Thank you, team. Well, I haven't sung some of those Christmas songs for quite a while, at least a year. All right, we've got some notes of praise and some prayer requests. We're going to go through them, and then if you'd like to add to that, by all means, please feel free. Just want to give you an update. As you know, Viv's sister passed away, and so we just have that to note. And Lydia, and then Deanne. Doug, where are you? Where are you? Give us an update on that wife of yours. Tell us what happened. She fell out of the truck and
She was heading to the grocery store, and as she was getting out of the truck, one foot went out from under her, down she went. She called me from the parking lot, I think she was still on the pavement, and said that she thinks she broke her tailbone.
Yeah.
So she's putting up a good fight anyway, because she won't go to the hospital, won't get checked out. Just continue praying for her, because she's in a lot of discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that's had an issue with their tailbone knows how painful that can be. Yes. Yes, we'll pray for Deanne. Crystal, where are you? We're going to pray for your sister with her eyes, okay? So, any update for that?
It's just her eyelids keep falling down. So her eyes or so her eyelids keep
Her eyelids? Down. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We will pray for her for sure. And Bruce, we're going to pray for your sister Dorothy, and also your sister-in-law, right? What was her first name again?
Ada.
Thank you. And Ada, we will pray for her too. Donna, your sister-in-law, do you want to give everybody a little update? What happened to your sister-in-law exactly?
Well, they lost the power.
Right.
And her son put her to bed. She has dementia.
Right.
And he gave her a flashlight in case she got up during the night, and I guess she did. And was quite confused in the dark, and she fell, broke her wrist, and smashed her head. She's in hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will pray for her.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thank you. All right, other things for prayer, and then we'll take some notes of prayer. Sheila? So, Cheryl, we will definitely pray for you. All right, other things for prayer. Suzanne, and then Jim. Suzanne?
Right. She just got diagnosed with leukemia.
Okay, how old is she?
7 months.
7 months. Wow. Okay. We will pray for her, and we'll pray the Lord gives you words to talk to her. Yeah. Jim?
Just for Kathy, she woke up with maybe during the night already, with a headache, which is probably related to the weather changing. Anyway, she's not feeling very good this morning.
We'll pray for Kathy for sure. Thank you for that and letting us know. And Leanne, I think I saw your hand.
Yeah. Next Sunday, I'm driving Abby out to Ottawa. She's going to spend Christmas with her friend out in Quebec, but they meet me in the Ottawa area. But Mark's not coming with us this time, so I'm driving on my own. So.
Yeah. Okay. We'll pray for you to have safe drive. All right. Susan, and then Carl. Susan?
Two things. One thing is for my car. I got a call on Wednesday that it was going to be towed to the scrapyard where the adjuster would have a look at it and then decide whether it was salvageable or not. So I should hear that by Wednesday, they said, of this coming week. And then the second thing is I still have a pain in the neck. I'm supposed to have an MRI, but I was not given a timeline of how long it could be. I have coworkers who are having one for different reasons, and have told me that they're not scheduled till April. So I'm written off until at least end of January for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know if everybody knows about Susan, but they were away in Germany, came back, and when Susan went to the parking lot, the park and fly, the car beside her had burned and burned her car. So she hasn't had a car, and now it looks like you won't be getting that car. So we'll see. We'll pray the Lord gives you, you know, good adjustment and insurance for that. Absolutely. Yes. Carl?
Jude has a good day and then she has a bad day. And I want everyone to pray that somehow they would open up a place for her to get that hip replaced.
Yes.
One of the things about the cancer is that...
Can everybody hear Carl? No, give him the mic. Give him the mic.
I thought I had a pastor's voice, but hey. Anyway, excuse me?
You can start from the beginning.
From the beginning.
In the, no, if you're a pastor, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
No, it would be from my translation, with wisdom in the beginning. Radiation is a terrible thing for the after effects. And one of them is, and I can probably get this from Bob as well, is that you get myalgia, or your muscles just tighten up so tight that you can't even move your neck. And Jude and Bob both have the same type of cancer that they have been battling. And along with her hip, she now has this myalgia that makes her neck... She was fine yesterday. And she was here. She was doing very well. This morning, she just can hardly move. So I'm praying that you will pray with me that they will somehow open a place for her to get that hip replaced.
Yes.
And continue to pray for Bob. He has.
Well, I think we'll go to Bob now, because I think, Bob, we should pray. Give us an update on what happened with regard to your dental surgery.
Well, I had a setback. I had a tooth removed about 9 months ago. And the oncologist, I should have got some advice from the oncologist. Excuse my speech.
Yeah.
But I didn't inform the oncologist that I was going to get a tooth removed. And I found out later, you're not supposed to. So I went to the dentist anyway because I had severe pain there, but it wasn't the pain from the tooth. At that time, I didn't know it was a cancer.
Just hold your mic a little closer. Attaboy.
So he removed the tooth, and now, 9 months later, where he removed it, it will not heal because of the radiation.
Yes.
And so I went through the last 3 or 4 weeks with some intense pain, I'm feeling better now. I went to the dentist the other day, and he did some adjustments and scraping and gnawing and all that gory stuff. And it seems that it's clogging now, and I go to see him next week, and we'll see what happens.
See what happens.
Yeah.
It's all stuff we take for granted, eh, Bob?
Yeah, it's misinformation and lack of follow-up. And the system, the system is depleted in certain areas, and you can't get people to talk to that are specialists at the same time. So
frustrations.
You're considered non-essential problem.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, we think you're essential, Bob.
Yeah.
We're going to pray today for you.
Thanks.
All right.
Yep.
That's where the family comes. How many like prayer for misinformation? I just want to. Anybody? Okay. All right. Irmgard, please.
Well, because of our Germany trip, Kurt hasn't worked for 3 weeks. So when he got a call to go out on Thursday, he got kind of excited. And then the next day, the trip was canceled. Yeah, that's what I thought. But he would have been, you heard probably about that tornado yesterday in Kentucky. Kurt would have been right in there.
He would have been right in the middle of Kentucky with the tornado.
Praise the Lord, he didn't go out.
The Lord prevented you. Interesting. Yes. Yeah, yeah. All right. Notes of praise this morning. What do you want to thank the Lord for? What else has the Lord done? Heather?
This may take a minute. Last week, I had asked for prayers for Mary Margaret, who's in a coma. And here we go. Our prayers have been answered. Mary Margaret is off the ventilator and breathing on her own. Last week, the family was called to come in as she wasn't expected to make it through the night. Okay. Tuesday, she was the talk of the hospital as a miracle. Her husband is extremely grateful for our prayers, and he knows it was divine intervention that saved his wife. Continued prayers for her complete recovery would be appreciated.
Yes.
So hallelujah.
Praise
and
the
that
Lord.
Short period
That's fantastic.
Of time.
That's good. Thanks so much, Heather. Allison, I've got news for you about Frank the barber. Do you have news for me?
Our friend Frank of 30 years was hit in Stayner a week and a half ago, I believe, two Tuesdays ago anyways, by a pickup truck that had a trailer attached to the back. I think he just quickly thought he could dart across the road and never seen the trailer attached to the pickup truck. So thank God he is off life support and breathing on his own, but I don't have any updates.
All right, so I'm going to give you some, girl.
Thank you.
This is neat. So we had a ministerial retirement luncheon on Wednesday, and many of you know Pastor Tony Denbach. So the family were able to contact Pastor Tony. Tony went down to Sunnybrook because the family had requested. The Sunnybrook said, you can't come in. So Tony went in. All right?
Thank you, Tony.
I love men who have no fear. So he got up into the unit where Frank was on life support, and he said, I'm here. I've been asked at the family's request to come in and pray for Frank. And the nurse said, well, I don't care what you're doing here. You're not supposed to be here. He says, well, I would like to pray for Frank. So she looked at him, and then she said, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. He went in. He prayed for Frank. Frank opened his eyes for the very first time at that moment. And now he's off the ventilator, and he's continuing to recover.
Oh, thank you.
So I just...
Thank you.
I think the Lord is doing amazing things. This is a time when we need to let our faith really flow. All right? So with that in mind, let's pray together. Father, these are fascinating days, exciting days. You're on your throne, and you are ruling from heaven. Jesus, you're interceding for every one of us daily, and the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us at all times. And Lord, we recognize that our lives are frail and that life is fragile. We've had to say goodbye to people over this year, people that have stepped off this earth. And Lord, we pray that you would bring special comfort to each and every one who is missing a family member this Christmas. We think of Dorothy Bingle today, and we ask, oh God, that you would put your love around her. And Father, for unexpected news, such as Suzanne is mentioning about her little granddaughter, Lord, life for many people comes as a great shock. And Lord, we need you. And yet, as we trust you, we hear all kinds of stories. You literally kept Kurt from being in a tornado. Well, we're sorry for those folks that have had to go through all of that. And we pray, Lord, you'd help them. Lord, sometimes we don't realize where you've blocked us and where you've prevented us from doing things. And Father, sometimes there are things that we'll never understand this side of heaven. And yet, here for Mary Margaret and for Frank, Lord, miracles have occurred, and we're reminded again that with you, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, we just come to you today with our own feeble weakness. And we say, Lord, my faith may not be strong, but you're my God, you're my Father, and you love me with a great sustaining love that never changes. And Father, as we come into this Christmas season, remind us that even before the world began, you and Jesus worked out a plan where he would come to this earth and walk on this earth for 33 years to tell people who you was. And so with that in mind, we just go into this Christmas season with a great sense of expectancy. Lord, for some in this congregation, family relationships are not good. And so there's going to be pressure through this season. There's going to be stress that is really unnecessary. And so, Lord, would you go before us in all the activities that we are carrying out and the limitations that are coming because of all the issues relative to this virus. Father, my prayer is that all of us would really sense the peace in this season, because Jesus is the reason for the season, and he transcends everything. Lord, we pray for those who couldn't be here today. We think of Kathy, and we think of Judy, and we think of others, Lord, that need a special touch from you. And Father, just pour out your blessing upon them wherever they are, even ones we don't know. We think of Bruce's sister Dorothy and Ada, his sister-in-law. We just believe you're doing great things for Donna's sister-in-law. We lift her up to you as well. And Father, these things that we have shared together, we may not know who the people are, but you know everything about them. You know you'll be with Donna tomorrow as she has her infusion. You're healing Bob's socket in his mouth right now. You're going to be with Deanne as she continues to recoup. You're going to be with Susan as she heads out to get some answers as to what car she will be driving. You're going to work in ways and bring forth moments for MRIs and for hip replacements, and your timing, we trust. And so in the midst of all of this, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you once again. Thank you for this family. Thank you for the love that we feel in this family. And thank you, Lord, that you continue to remind us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, touch our eyes, touch our hearts, touch every part of our bodies, and may we sense a new emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual freedom with Christmas of 2021. We thank you now in your powerful name. Amen and amen. Monique, I'm going to ask you to come now, would you please, and sing for us.
Prepare the hearts and the minds of the people that are going to hear. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Bye.
Bless the Lord. Thank you. Do you ever wonder what communion has to do with Christmas? You know, much of our Christian calendar, we segment it. Oh, this is Easter. Oh, this is Jesus' baptism time. Oh, this is when he was in the temple. Oh, this is when he was born in Bethlehem. Oh, this is when the wise men came. But do you ever think of the story in terms of the whole scope? That literally, before the world began, the Father and the Son sat down and made a plan. Now, the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, was in there, because we have a triune God. But the plan was, before the world began, Jesus was going to come to the earth to do what? Walk on the earth, die, and rise from the dead, so that what? The proof was everybody's sins could be forgiven, because God has the power through Jesus to what? Forgive sins and take us into heaven. And so very often we forget things. When we go to funerals, everybody talks about the John scenario, where in my Father's house are many mansions. Well, I want to tell you, I always want to do a quick overview scope, and Carl's going to share a few words this morning as well. But I want you to see it in terms of, first of all, the birth of Jesus, because this is Christmas, isn't it? I had a friend of mine, he left a message on the phone. He said, you know, this is the season, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. So I phoned him up and I said, what do you think? I've got dementia? You had to tell me twice to rejoice? He starts laughing. He says, no, I have dementia. That's why I had to remember what I told you. But the reality is, rejoice, rejoice, because a child has been born who is now the Son of God walking the face of the earth. And so Matthew says it so succinctly. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord... Well, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not what? Fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from where? Before the world was created, they decided the Holy Spirit would work with a woman to conceive the very Son of God, who was both man and God. You know what people say to me? How did that happen? How does that work? You know what I say to them? I don't know. But since God did it, and he's infinite, and I'm finite, it doesn't matter whether or not I know it, because he did it. This is the reality. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, of course, remember, sons were always named after the families. And so the Holy Spirit, who was going to conceive, then was told to Joseph, you're going to name this boy Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? Their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that was from Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. Family, this is a marvelous story. This is a marvelous reality. As we come to Christmas again, 2021, the world wants to ignore it. The world's in love with Amazon. There are more trucks that come into our parking lot than I've ever seen before. Purolator, unknown trucks, Muskoka Transport. I mean, and they're all bringing gifts. Oh, yeah, that's true. We haven't had anything for a couple of days. No, that's true, dear. And we haven't had anything come to our house for... Yes, but I can walk all down the row of condos, box after box after box after box, and the gifts didn't come from wise men. So here's the reality. Here we are today, coming up to Christmas. And it's interesting that Jesus said a very poignant thing in the midst of his ministry, because remember, he walked on the earth for 3 years trying to tell people to see who God was. And you know, nothing's different in 2,000 years. Because even when he walked on the face of the earth, people totally ignored him. Now, yes, people came to him and crowds flocked to him and he fed 4,000 one time, 5,000 another, not counting women and children. Yes, there are so many miracles that literally you could put it down to one person in four had a direct touch from Jesus in some way in the day in which they lived. But the reality was many of those who should have known better thought Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, but certainly not the Lord. And so Jesus said this very poignantly, and Matthew records this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." I don't think you and I have any idea of how sad God is when he looks on the world that he created and on the people he created, and they go, "God? Who's he?" I can't imagine Jesus' agony when he said what he said to all those inhabitants in Jerusalem. "I would as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wing." And so we come to this day, because Matthew, in just a couple of chapters later, talks about the last supper that Jesus had with his disciples. In that upper room, you remember it well, before Good Friday, and he had this meal in a rented facility, and he had a chat with them. Of course, Judas, who was going to betray him, he'd left, and he'd gone off to do his business for the money that he was going to get. Isn't that interesting how much of life is dictated by this? How much is dictated by this? And Judas was caught up in that. And so, as Jesus is Matthew's recording, and as they were eating in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. Now remember, these disciples were all sitting at a triclinium table. Do you know what a triclinium table is? It's a table that stretches one way across the center. It's kind of like a U shape, and it's about 2 feet off the ground. And what you did was you leaned on covers or pillows, and you took your food from the table. So everybody was leaning and taking their food from the height approximately 2 to 2.5 feet. There weren't chairs. It wasn't huge tables, banquet tables, but in the midst of that, Jesus probably was sitting there, and he took the bread, and here's what it says he said. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." This represents my body that's going to be what? Broken for you in less than 72 hours. And of course, he took the cup, and they were all intently watching him, I'm sure. And he said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this represents my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Who's the many? It's you and I. We're included in the many for the forgiveness of sins. "And I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What was he trying to tell the disciples 2,000 years ago? We're going to have a meal again, family. and it's going to be in God's very presence, my Father's very presence, we are going to have this meal. And the disciples would have said, well, this seems really unusual. Wonder what it really means. But I think for most of the ministry Jesus walked on the face of the earth, the disciples didn't get it. And many times they didn't get it until what? After he was resurrected. Aren't you glad we have insights and wisdom now that those men were trying desperately to understand? And Paul picks up something which is very important, and he says the following, because you remember, Paul technically never really saw Jesus personally, but then look at what he says in 1 Corinthians, in the first letter to the Corinthians in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. What? Do so in remembrance of him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he what? Oh, say that again. Until he what? Do you realize we don't serve a dead God? To leave, he's coming back. So, gentlemen, keep your suits pressed. No, it doesn't matter. The only thing I say to those of you that are worried about the color of your pajamas, keep your house coat at the end of the bed. Because when the trumpet sounds, put it on and let's go. Because he said, I'm coming back. Does Jesus lie? Not at all. Until he comes. And Paul goes on to say, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So what? Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now let's just take a minute and think about this. Is anybody really worthy to take this?
Nobody.
Were the disciples worthy? No. So, is it dependent on who we are as to whether or not we get to take this? Or is the reality is everything that's in that is what we need to take? Now, that doesn't mean we don't have issues with people. And, you know, the Bible talks, you have something against somebody and leave it at the altar. You've got a gift. Go and put it right. But the reality is this is to be done in remembrance of him, because this is all about faith. This is in spite of everything. This is about faith. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. You believe in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you take this in remembrance of him, not on how good or bad you're feeling today.
Amen.
All right? But if we don't have due appreciation for what we're doing, what happens? The Lord recognizes that we're mocking him. And Paul's pretty serious. He said, this is why some of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. But if we've judged ourselves truly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come to eat, what? Go first? Eat up? Wait for one another. So we're doing this in remembrance of him until when? Until we eat it fresh with the Lord's Father and our Father in heaven. Carl, come on up. I know you have several words that you would like to share. Please.
Which of you wants to follow Pastor John? You talk about stealing thunder. I leaned over to Tonga and said, hey, he's stealing everything I'm supposed to say. Well, you know what? It's all in the Word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all in the Word. And so when you hear it for a second time from me this morning, you might take it into your heart and really take shape. The one thing John said that I want to reiterate real quick is, in chapter 11 of Corinthians, Paul admonishes all of them for their manner of taking the cup, their manner of eating the bread. They were doing so as a way of gluttony, as a way of having a party. You know, the Son of God, we celebrate Christmas, comes down as a baby. 33 years later, He sits with his disciples in the upper room. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about it. And he says, as they're finishing eating, he takes the bread and breaks it and says, "This is my body, which is broken for who?" You should be pointing at yourself saying, "His body was broken for me." In the same manner, he took the cup and said, "Take and drink. For this is the new covenant given for you." What was the old covenant? Anybody know what the old covenant was? The law. And the law always tells us that you'll never, ever, ever measure up. And so, every year in the Jewish holidays, they had the Day of Atonement. When you brought your gifts, your tithes, your offerings, offered them up, and then the high priest went into the very holy of holies and sprinkled the mercy seat with the blood of a freshly killed lamb. And on that day, all their sins were forgiven. But what happened the very next day? They were back into it. Does that say that when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that the next day we might do something that might be against God? Absolutely. For how long are we sinners? And His blood and His body was broken how many times? Once for all. I heard an Italian back there. A once a for all. When I was in seminary, I had to write a paper. And the paper was on the bread and the wine. And I studied that for one whole semester and wrote a thesis or a paper on the bread and the wine. Friends, we celebrate him from Isaiah 9. It says this. Right here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. What would that might have been? That might have been the Star of Bethlehem. Maybe? Or it might have been Jesus. Seeing a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And for unto us, a child is born. For unto us, a king shall come. For unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Hallelujah for that. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Did the disciples know on that night, as Pastor John has already said, did they know what he was saying to them? I really don't think they did. They didn't realize that until they saw him hanging on the tree, his blood shed for you and I. So, going back to 1 Corinthians 11, Paul was very upset with the people of Corinth, for they had just been doing things that just were not right. And also in Matthew chapter 5, someone has written down somewhere, if a brother has aught against you, or you have something against your brother, go to him. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, I say this, with all reverence, you might think differently, but I'm going to say this because I believe it's the doctrine of communion. When we have communion, if you have aught against a brother and you can go to him that right there and then, when you see this table set, you do it. But if you can't, who do we have in heaven who intercedes for us at all times? The Holy Spirit and Jesus both in us. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, who says, I forgive you. Take the bread, take the cup. After you've done so, if you still have something you feel you need to talk to a brother or sister about, do it. But don't not take communion because you think you are unworthy. Because as Pastor John said, every single person in this room is unworthy. That our God would die for me. If you knew my testimony, you heard Sheila's last week. If you knew my testimony, you would probably say the same thing. As I said to myself, how could a God love me after all the things that I've done in my life? And yet, he says, come, come, come. And then say, thank you. Thank you for all you've done, Lord, in my life. Now, I'm not going to preach one word more, John, but I'm going to say this. Yesterday we had the retirement for Pastor John, his party. Well, today I'm saying that he's been pastor here for 23 years, going 24. And if he will be the one to serve you the final bread and cup, that will be, to me, the greatest thing we could do in the sight of God. For a shepherd is supposed to bring his people, his sheep, to greener pastures. And I believe 23 years has gone by, and he has done that. So I'm going to ask Pastor John to come. And I'm going to pray for the bread and the cup together. And I'm going to give the emblems to John. He will come around and serve each of you. And then he'll bring it back to me. Do not eat or drink until we all have it together, okay? And then I will pray for both. So at this time, John.
And just a quick word of instruction.
Yes.
The bread is on the top, and the juice is on the bottom. And we will try to take the top off.
Can't help yourself.
You've got to take the top off, and then you take the next part off, okay?
Does everyone see? There's two parts to it. The very top, can you use it if you have tough dealing with your fingers and have the person next to you help you. No problem. But do not open it until we all have it, and then we'll eat and drink together, okay?
So can we pray now for the
Father elements? God, we thank you for the bread and for the cup. We thank you for your goodness to us, that you thought it, that you would save us all in eternity past. And fathers, we come together to celebrate your broken body and your shed blood. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Father. We can't say it enough. How grateful we are for all that you've done for us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We are all to be servants, servants to the other. It isn't about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you. We can say hallelujah for that. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah.
You're welcome.
Now, if you have any questions about communion, the doctrine of such, you can talk with me. You are adamant that you think there's something that I'm doing that is wrong, Let's come and reason together. The Bible teaches us.
Father, you are good, and your faithfulness endures to all generations. We may have trouble taking the top off this thing, but we're going to not have any problem when we eat and drink and fresh with you in heaven. Lord, I ask your blessing on this congregation. I ask that you'd pour out your Spirit on them in such amazing ways, that as they continue to live for you and whatever they do in remembrance of you. Amen. That your power would be displayed. Your glory would be known. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you. You're an amazing God. And Jesus, thanks for all you've done to save our soul. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being the great comforter that you are. We bless your name. And now as we conclude with our last song this morning, we just want to say thank you for all you've done. For us to be here today, we've needed this. And Lord, as you go before us into a new week, we know that you're going to guide and direct us. We know that your hand is be upon us. You're going to protect us in so many ways. And Lord, most of all, we just know you're going to keep on loving us. And so in that love, we move and live and have our being. And Father, as this Christmas season draws nearer and nearer, remind us that everything about Jesus needs to be remembered. The world wants us to forget. Satan wants us to ignore it. But you, our Father, are reminding us your Son has done great things and will continue to do so, far beyond what we could ask or think. So bless us all as we head into this new week. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.